Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu 'alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. May yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكفر ملة واحدة سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم My respected and honorable listeners, with the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an ayah, part of an ayah, in a hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was recited in order for us to benefit from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the words of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is extremely important that we listen attentively, lending our hearts, lending our ears to the message, not so much from the speaker, but from what Allah and His Rasul have to say. Generally, audiences consist of three types of people. One are those that come happily, willingly, with an open heart, and ready to embrace whatever the speaker is going to speak, provided obviously it must be within the framework of the Sharia. They are like roses upon which soft rain rains. The rose will blossom, the color will become more beautiful, and there will be a lot of benefit for people just by looking at the rose. Secondly, you find the second class of people. People that come with a clean, open mind. They are unsure. They need guidance. They need to know the way forward. And accordingly, what happens? They also will benefit. There will be some type of benefit for them also, depending on the sincerity in wanting guidance. You can't take a donkey to the water and force it to drink. So that is the second class of people. There will be some benefit. And the third type of people are people who have got a preconceived notion of what the talk should be about, what should be spoken, what shouldn't be spoken. So the third type of people are people who have got a preconceived notion. They've blocked their minds, they've blocked their hearts. In short, they've already turned away from the Quran and the Hadith before it's even recited. They will perhaps be critical of the talk thereafter, but what was the need to say this and what was the need to say that? They are like a snake. The same raindrop that gives benefit to a rose, a snake whose mouth is open, when the raindrop falls in there, it will turn possibly into poison. May Allah save us. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned all three different categories in the Quran and Karim in different places. Coming back to the subject, we have a huge problem. And I can't overstate the nature of this problem. And it is something that is infinitely more dangerous than anything that you or I could have ever imagined. I hope I'm not sounding very... maybe I'm not overdoing things. But the reality of it is, we are now at a stage where our very iman is at stake. And I don't say this very lightly. I say it after doing intense research on this particular subject. It is the subject of the interfaith movement. One must not look at the interfaith movement with the view that, you know, what's the problem if Jews, Christians, Muslims get together on a common platform to discuss issues? No, it is much more deeper than that. There's a systematic assault on Islam. There is a very well thought out plan to rip the soul of Muslim, of his iman out of our hearts. Understand well, every ibadah, there is a physical form and there is a nur. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, فَمَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ أَيَّشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Whosoever Allah Ta'ala expands their hearts for Islam, it's actually a nur. Allah Ta'ala says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَا وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشُونَ فِي النَّاسِ. Is that person the equivalent of a person whose darkness, a person who's got the nur of iman when he walks? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem that فَمَنْ يُرِدْ لَوْ أَيَّشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Whosoever Allah Ta'ala wants goodness for, Allah Ta'ala expands his heart for the nur of Islam. The interfaith movement is so dangerous because it is so cunningly devised and schemed. See here, we know the Muslim lands have been invaded. Our resources have been ripped out of the grounds of the land of people. Our people have been dispossessed. We know about the killings, the wars, the bombs. We know everything basically what is to be known. What have we got now left of our deen? In practical terms, what have we got? We got our Darul Ulooms. May Allah Ta'ala protect all of them. We got Jamaat work. May Allah Ta'ala protect them. And we got our masajid. Now understand this well. They know you, they can't take women just into a Darul Uloom. I don't think they're going to get past the chokidar there or the person who's the gatekeeper there. They tell them, no, you're not allowed in here. They can't get into the Jamaat workers just like this here. The assault now is on our masajid. Understand well, bear with me, even maybe it may seem a bit disjointed, but I will prove it to you. You must have heard about a queen that died in England. Interfaith movement is the root cause of people going into the masjid. We speak about not just people, Christians, and we're not speaking only about Christians, we speak about the priests in there, and the clergyhood, going into a masjid, standing there, reading from the Bible, singing a hymn from the Bible, and Muslims standing at attention, and even to the extent that God save the Queen. But they don't see anything wrong. They say, you know, we need to coexist with one another. We need to live with one another. What's the problem? Brothers, there's a lot of problems to this. Understand something. Allah Ta'ala is Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram. Allah Ta'ala has got his self-respect. He's very dignified. He's our Rabb. Would you like a person who deals in drugs to come and visit your son in your house? You'll say, no ways. Non-druggy. He's a guy, he's a drug lord. What does he want here? What do they want in our massage? Ask yourself, what do they want in our massage? You want to do whatever you want to do. Do it in your warehouse. Do it in your offices. You want to show them how to worship. You don't have to bring them to the masjid. Roll out a musalla there amongst the workers. This is how we pray. This is how we make ablution and wudu. When you bring them to the masjid, they're invading. They're invading our such private soul. It is the core. This masjid is so great. Wallah, wallah, wallah. From every direction, east to west, north to south, wherever there is a masjid, it is so sacred in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we step with our right foot into the masjid, we have stepped into Jannah. We have stepped into our Jannah. I don't say so. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, on the day of Qiyamah, all those plots, all that land upon which masajid were constructed, will be incorporated into Jannah. Non-Muslims don't go to Jannah. Not until the through the eye of a needle a camel can pass. Can they hatta yalijal jamalu fi samil khiyar? We speak from Quran hadith. We don't speak from philosophy and parliaments and this and that. So it is so sacred, this masjid, man. One brick, man. One brick. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you a whole palace in Jannah if you have contributed to my masjid to the equivalent of a brick. A whole palace in Jannah. When we come into masjid, we all know, yes, you know what? We have to be in a state of parki. We can't be in a masjid in a state of Jannah. But why do we do this here? Out of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala deserves to be respected. Allah ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, when, at the time when he was giving him wahi, فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ. Remove your shoes. Remove your shoes. Without doubt, Musa alayhi salam's shoe wouldn't have najasat under it. Without doubt, we can say that. Remove your shoes here. But yet we tell him, Allah Ta'ala says, I told him, remove your shoes. When you speak to me, you remove your shoes. And whenever Musa alayhi salam would go and receive wahi, he had to remove his shoes. Here we find there's an open national, open women's day. I can't understand, maybe it's due to whatever it may be, but can you, anyone tell me here, man? It's a Saturday tomorrow. They are having their fun. It's called the National Bride Day also, by the way. And they are eating the khinzir. They are drinking their wine. They are enjoying their liquor. And thereafter they come to the masjid. Ask yourself, how do we allow this man to come into the masjid who has in all probability ate and drank something that is totally haram in the Sharia? They could have gone to the toilet. And he walk into the masjid and we say, welcome to Muslims, come, come, come. He comes in there with all his najasat. She comes in there with all her najasat. And what do we say? We think we are doing great, good for Islam. Do you see? Now I ask of you, you know, we don't let people think, you know, the Maulvis just make problems. We don't make problems. Allah Ta'ala don't make zulm upon anyone. Take it, a lady comes into the masjid and Imam Sahib is there in the mutawalli. He says, oh yes, I see, very good, man. Oh, this is fantastic, the architecture. Oh, is this a, are you the imam? Yes. Can I take a selfie with you? What's he going to do? If he says no, you got Islamophobia. Why can't I picture myself with you? Another one is coming with a video, making a video. The children are running to and fro. Great, great fun we are having, man. Is this how the house of Allah Ta'ala is being treated? Now remember, O Ummatis of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, each one of you have got a role to play. Irrespective of how sinful we may be, irrespective of the types of sins we have committed, each and every Musalli, each and every Ummati, each and every Muslim, each and every Waqif, each and every Mutawalli must clarify in his mind. People that advocate this type of a philosophy, sorry, I'm going to stand up for the cause of Allah and His Rasul Salaam in a non-violent manner. I will say, I don't agree with it. I will make the call, I don't agree with it. I will say whatever I can say in order to ensure that Allah's house is not desecrated in the name of Islam on top of it. Ask yourself again, when we think of it, this interfaith movement grew bigger. What did it become? It became the Abraham Accord. Abrahamic Accord, it founded by the United States with Israel, etc. You know, we must somehow or the other penetrate into the soul of Islam and destroy that nur that they got with them, that light that they got with them. And I have got a recording, I don't want to play it in the masjid. The American president said, we have succeeded in purifying the mosque so that Israel, they can accept Israel. This is how they do it. We have succeeded. Our people going there, their women going there, the children going there, the drug addicts, the drunkards or whatever. We have succeeded. We have succeeded in purifying their mosque. Because first we said in our park, no, we can go in there. What shall we answer to Allah and His Rasulullah? Was the battle of Badr, was the blood of Rasulullah so cheap that we can't we can't understand the sacredness of the house of Allah. Do you know how sacred this house is? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once entered into the masjid in Medina Munawwara. On the walls in front, somebody had spit, and there was some spittle on the wall. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked very angrily at the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and he said, "Who did this here?" The Sahaba kept quiet. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Remember, in times before, ummats were destroyed when they abused the masjid in this manner. Spit is spark. That person walks in what? Darpaki, what's he doing in the house of Allah? And you don't want to do anything. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to say anything. And when people speak, I don't think there's many. There's hardly, you can't even call that a person who's going to object. You know what? Let him come in. I'm going to narrate two stories to you, and I'll conclude, inshallah ta'ala. How careful we have to be about our iman. If you allow them in now, today is today, you may feel we have it under control. It's only for an hour or so. What if they come on Sunday? We want to come for Sunday. You don't mind, we have a little church function here in the mosque. You are welcome to our church also. What are you going to do? Where does it stop? Brings me to the ayah I've recited at the beginning of the talk, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in no uncertain terms, very categorically, and what is this? وَلَن تَرْضُ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَن نَسْوَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتُمْ. Never ever, وَلَن تَرْضَ, never ever will they be happy with you, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nor the Yahud, nor the Nasara. Until the Sahaba would have done anything to make them happy, to bring them to Islam. Anything he would have done. He gave his life, he finished himself, if you can call. Allah Ta'ala felt pity on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala told him, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخٌ نَفْسَكَ, you're going to destroy yourself out of concern and worry for them. He would have done anything. But O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, understand one thing. Well, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَسَارَى, he will never ever be happy with you in your workplace, wherever you are special, until you don't follow the millat, the religion. Clear. As far as Islamophobia concerned, it's nothing new. From the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was such Islamophobia, we can't even think of it. The people couldn't mix it up by the Baytullah. Could there be a greater Islamophobia? How were we taught by Rasulullah to deal with it? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَذُرُّكُمْ كَيْرُ مُشِيَا. You make sabr on the commands of Allah. You observe taqwa on what Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to do and told us to forbade us to do. They can't harm you. They can never ever harm you. So we come now to the two incidents and how sensitive iman is. We heard this from Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi, and he heard it from Mawlana Thani rahmatullahi alayhi. There was a person in Jalalabad, very prominent politician. It so happened that a pious person came to the town and to the village. People told that person, you know, someone here is very unwell, prominent person, big politician, is in his last moments. Why don't we make dua for him? He said, fine, let me go. When they didn't know the person, he stood there by the bedside, read something. As he departed, the person stretched his hand out, don't go. Okay, all right. Waited a little more, adhan went. As he's going, don't go. Majhao. So he says, but I have to go for Salah. Went for Salah, came back, found a person had passed away by then. So he inquired from the family, why was he so desperate for me to remain there? They say that, you see, after you left, he told us, I see a creation of Allah Ta'ala coming, I see a creation coming with a cage made of fire. And when that pious person walked in, they said, this, out of respect for this person here, but we're coming back for you. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. What did he do? He supported the building of a mandir in order to get the Hindu votes. Allah Ta'ala save all our iman. May Allah save us our iman. Iman is simple in the sense that if it is there, it will tell you itself. You know, you don't need a bayan. You don't need a mufti. You don't need a sheikh. You don't need anyone. If you are standing here and a non-Muslim lady walks in here, ill-dressed, and shamelessly flaunting herself, you'll immediately say, sorry, you're not allowed in here. That is our imani ghairat. Like how you'll tell a drug dealer, sorry, you're not allowed in here. Now, the second incident. This is a hadith from Nabi Akrim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Beautiful, wonderful. We all must follow imani conscience. What does my iman see? Mean? How can it be, you know, that it can bring women to the masjid? We should feel sad. At the same time, we may get angry also, but there must be that sorrow for our Muslim. Allah guide them. Allah look after them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a mule. And the mule loved him, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved this particular mule. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a young boy by the name of Anas, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who used to be attending to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One day it so happened, Hazrat Anas, the young boy, was not around. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the mule, speaking to him, go fetch Anas. The mule trotted off, looked around, there's Anas's house, went, with his head, it knocked the door. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala came, the mule sat down. Hazrat Anas understood that the mule is a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is calling me. He got onto the back of the mule, and the mule came back trotting happily, sat down by the door of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Anas got off. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled. A mule could understand. He could understand what Allah and His Rasul want. A mule could understand. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, that mule refused to eat. It refused to drink. It died before it died, until it really died. Where is the love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The kuffar not our enemies? We can't even speak like this. Some people feel, hey, don't make enemies of these people, man. I don't say so. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tattakhidhu al-yahuda wa an-nasara awliya. Ba'duhum awliya wa ba'd. O believers, do not adopt the Yahud and the Nasara as your friend. They are friends unto one another. The Quran Sharif has got everything. If you want to know, but why are they ganging up against us? Rasulullah said in a hadith that we cited, all of kufr is one. A time will come, and we are now in going through, if we give up our masajid to these people, whoever they are. They have the interfaith movement, they have the Abraham's Accord, they've got a global imam work network. You see how it's branching out. And they are snaring everyone, quarreling everyone, getting anyone into the kraal, that you have to think like this. The basic tenet of the interfaith movement, like we have kalima la ilaha illallah, what is the basic tenet? You see how important it is. We have to read up. What is the interfaith movement? All religions are equal. All religions are equal. All will go to heaven. You can't condemn any religion. You cannot condemn Christianity. Yet the Quran Kareem condemns Christianity. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Verily, the people who are the Nasara, they have committed kufr when they believe in Trinity. You know, the people that went to the church, you know what you are doing? You are standing on a cross. Cross is against the Quran Kareem. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّيَ لَهُمْ. I didn't kill. Isa alayhi salam wasn't killed. He was uplifted to the sky. You in a church? What does the church tell you? The Quran Sharif is wrong. There's Jesus there, crucified. What does the church tell you? The church tells you, you know, Father is very important. You go and confide in the Father all your sins and He will forgive you. We say Allah is the only one to forgive. So, this is the main portion which we should, that all religions cannot be equal. Allah Ta'ala says openly in the Quran Kareem, وَمَنْ يَبْتِغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَيُقْبَلُ مِنْ. Whosoever comes to Allah with another religion other than Islam, I'll never accept it. Finish. I'll never ever accept it. Just as a husband is a wife, how, no matter how good she may be attending to you, your visitors, her in-laws, cooking the best, dressing up, everything she can do, mashallah, ta'ala, best wife she can be. But if she whispers this to you one day, you know, I got a boyfriend. Yeah. So all the good that he do, the queen did so much good, so good, all. But he say one thing, you know what? We believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Wa akhiru da'wana, anil hamdulillah rabbil alamin, may Allah save us from such a situation.